they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, Kimmy Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby.
Them orange britches. Something about them orange britches.
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back is Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Bruce McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, April 14th, and don't worry, we do have the correct background. I'll update that right now, live, in person. Thank you all for joining us. It's been a absolutely just fantastic weekend. The weather was gorgeous. At least it seemed like today I was recovering, just not even from anything like alcohol. I was just that tired. Mm-hmm. So I let my body sink into the couch and I watched Scottie Scheffler win his second Masters before his first child, who my conspiracy is he had the child, but they didn't tell anybody, so he wouldn't have to leave. So we'll see if that comes out to be true.
Okay. Interesting. I was going to say, like, this, it was kind of uneventful, I guess, especially like the back nine today. So
I feel like it
was good, like napping TV.
It was, but more so because Scotty just never let up. And the other guys obviously like had to drop back for it to happen the way it happened. But before you saw Homa try to close in, I'm not gonna be able to pronounce his name. Swedish guy, whatever his name is. He tried to close in. Morikawa kind of crapped a bit. But regardless, it was a fantastic Masters finish. It's always fun to watch the ones that come down to the last putt or last hole. But it's also fun to watch the guys get to walk up the 18th fairway knowing they won. I do enjoy those Masters as well.
Yeah.
Good time. I like Scotty, so that may. I wanted Homa to win or Morikawa, so that kind of stinks. But I do like Scotty, so it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, I just think it's like he was obviously the favorite, like he is with everything he plays in. So it just kind of like it was just kind of him the whole entire after like day one. It was like him and DeChambeau and Homa, and after that, it was just all Scotty.
I would have been very hurt. I don't like DeChambeau, so I would have been very hurt if that had Bryson DeChambeau. And then all the weird stuff he does. Good for him, I guess, but he's weird. And then you also got a sweep, man. Hadn't been entertained that type of baseball in SEC play, so it's fun.
Yeah, it's been a while. Been nice. It was nice this weekend, weather-wise, and just – beating a team that's, you know, you've kind of had a little bit of a rivalry with in LSU. And no, Jay Johnson is that short in person, in case you're wondering. So
it's not, the camera doesn't take away inches. It's, it's true.
If you have a broom, that broom is taller than Jay Johnson, guaranteed.
It's possible for sure. The getting a win over LSU is always nice. And then talking about guys just going after each other, you get Christian Moore's now tied for the all-time record home runs at Tennessee. And he does it in literally explosive fashion. That ball, talk about the seams getting ripped off. I get just a rocket.
But also Blake had one where it was off the top of the wall. He almost had two today too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun, though. The back half of the season, it's just going to be them going at it.
Yeah. Yeah, you truly have a Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa kind of race here. So, yeah, maybe at some point, maybe VFL Films or Vol Films or whatever they call it, will do like a 30 for 30-ish on this race.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Everything, guys, happy birthday to Caleb. It was yesterday. Happy birthday to my guy. Dylan, who helps produce. His birthday is today. Happy birthday to him.
Dylan. Happy birthday.
Yep.
You'll never catch me, but congrats. It's not like Bert Christian Moore situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's written more like the Scotty Scheffler. Like, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Dylan. Big 29.
29. How old are you, Caleb?
I'm also 29. I'm feeling it today too.
47.
Yeah. I know we'll get into baseball, but Blake Burke's home run too, just hilariously oppo.
Oh, dude. I mean, wall scraper for sure.
I don't know what the other teams are doing, and it didn't look like LSU had a shift on for him, did they? At least not an outfield shift.
No, not an outfield shift. No, yeah. they will have they did have the shift on today for him. Yeah,
yeah. Anyways. Okay. I mean, I'm curious when teams just stop doing that. It's worth
every foul ball he hits like on a line is oppo too. So I don't know why that's a thing, but whatever.
It's worthless. It's funny. Yeah. All right, we're gonna get into the show. We've got some fun stuff. The orange and white game was yesterday, just an all around Tennessee weekend. It was a ton of fun to watch unfold. Orange and white game was orange and white game. You did, I guess, learn some stuff. So we'll get into that. Before we do that, I'm going to tell you guys about our friends over at Grade A Grounds. Grade A Grounds is a local coffee roasting company in Kingsport, Tennessee, owned by two educators, both in the Johnson City area. If I can talk, that's why I need some coffee. I'm definitely going to need it in the morning. While they want to make great coffee, they also want to support their community and students in that community. They do that by donating 5% of all their sales to a nonprofit organization in the Tri-Cities area called Coalition for Kids. Every bag of coffee you buy, 5% of that is going to help stock those Coalition for Kids classrooms with the necessary supplies needed for students. You'll also notice that those labels are made by those students at the direction of the art teachers there. So win-win-win-win all around. Great coffee, great guys. Great company that's making the coffee, and you'll see that they're helping the students and teachers in the area. That just benefits our overall community. So love Grade A Grounds. Make sure you guys go check them out. Go support them. Support them by supporting us. Promo code Go Vols. Go check out Grade A Grounds.
Do it. All right. The orange and white game. Didn't really get to – I watched a little bit of it today. It's about like what you expect, like absolutely you're going to dive into it. And I think the main thing that I took from it is Gaston Moore is the best orange and white game quarterback of all time. I don't think there's any debate.
You can drop the orange and white. Yeah. Gaston Moore is the best quarterback of all time, which is what we wanted. It's one of those. I wanted to see that. Cause I just wanted to be proven right. That on a spring afternoon, it's Gaston Moore, and that's it. Again, going back to the Scotty Scheffler situation, why is anyone else even playing?
Yeah, I mean, defensive backs, you don't stand a chance. Quarterbacks in the quarterback race, you don't stand a chance. It's Gaston Moore.
And I think if we wear gray, we have to play Gaston now.
Yeah, and I'm at the point where, like, if South Carolina can pull a grad assistant to play football for them, I think Gaston Moore should always be able to be the backup quarterback.
Yeah. So Scotty Scheffler, he earned it a few years ago. He earned the permanent exemption at Augusta, the Masters. I think Gaston Moore should get a permanent exemption, if not just overall, at least for spring games. He should be allowed to play in every single spring game.
I'm down for that. Yeah. I think that's perfect. I think I would pay $10 for that.
100%. I mean, come on, Danny White. Make some money. Make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to get people in their seats? You want to give them to pay $10?
Gaston Moore
next year.
Yeah. We'll start working on that. You know, we're ideas, guys. When our ideas start coming to life, look out, world. I mean, you're toast. Mm. The orange and white game, I think my positive takeaway from it is Tennessee is who we thought they were, it seems. They're strong where they're strong on the defensive line.
Yeah.
The receiving core looks deep. Beyond that, it is nerve-wracking that we are who they know they are, because it seems like secondary, you know, you have athleticism. Are those guys going to make plays? Are they deep? Running back, you're like, all right, who's going to play behind Dylan Sampson all year competently?
Mm-hmm.
And offensive line is a veteran group, and then you're trying to figure out who you're playing at right guard.
Yeah, I mean, the same question marks. I mean, there's not going to be answered in the spring game. I mean, a lot of guys didn't play in it. Squirrel White didn't play, Brew McCoy.
And that's why I think it's positive that they are who they say you are. Like, they are, yeah. we know who they are right now. I think that's good. Mm-hmm. It would have sucked if we came in and we're like, oh, well, the defensive line is getting destroyed right now. That would have sucked.
I think my big thing from it, and maybe you can kind of spin it as a negative for the defense, but I do like how we had a couple of big plays that turned into touchdowns throwing the ball down the field. I think that's something that Tennessee just didn't have enough of last year. So if they can kind of get back to that, I feel a lot better about this offense. If you're able to do that, and it helps having a quarterback that has the confidence to do it. It helps having that offensive line in front of you. It helps having, you know, you talked about depth at receiver, and I think just more talent in that room. I do like kind of how the offense, you know, got back to that explosiveness that we were used to the years prior.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Does it translate? I don't know. But it seemed like that was a point of emphasis in the spring game, was to let it loose and let guys make plays.
Yeah, I think that's it. Will it translate? I mean, that's a big thing. And but, I mean, it's good to see that they're on the same page now, mm-hmm. as far as quarterbacks and receivers go.
Yeah.
If you're not now.
He ain't going to be, probably
not. Now, that doesn't mean just because you're on it now, doesn't mean you'll be on it in the fall, but I think you have a better, you definitely have a better shot of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I all in all, I think it's one of those things that you walk away and you just go, okay, we look competent at positions we need to look competent at, and that's good. And so spring game is never going to tell all ever. If it does, that's be a wild day. I mean, you could probably take more from Ole Miss's spring day than you could this game. And they were having dunk competitions and tug of war competitions, which, by the way, our idea. You're welcome, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I also think like Tennessee just seems to be deeper than they've been at most positions since Josh Heupel took over. And that's, I don't know if there's a ton of walk-ons finding their way on the field in big situations because of injuries. And I like that.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing for these next few years. Obviously you got to get better at certain positions in the certain positions at the starting as a starter, but really you want to see that they're building depth recruiting. And they're up – I mean, this staff is up against a challenge that previous Tennessee staffs haven't really been up against. And everyone else in the country is facing the same thing. So it's not saying they're facing different challenges than the rest of the country, just different from other Tennessee coaches, and that's in the transfer portal. And so you're building depth while also seeing guys leave that aren't seeing the field here, may want to seek other opportunities. And so that's a challenge that they're going to have to learn to navigate, and – I think we've built more depth and see if it's quality depth everywhere, but I think we certainly have built depth.
Yeah. I think a depth kind of question comes at, you mentioned the running backs, defensive backs. I just think it's, I don't know how much of a depth thing it is more as like just unproven guys, you know, guys that like, I mean, we were playing the same safeties basically for the last 3 years.
Right.
And so it's got to be different. I mean, this is a totally new group. Like, none of these guys have really, like, Jordan Thomas, Turin, or Jacoby Thomas, Turrenton, Jalen McMurray. You got Jermaine McCoy, Ricky Gibson. Like, none of those guys have really played on the field at the same time. In a you know, SEC game, you know, Ricky Gibson probably is the most veteran person in this program. And, you know, I wouldn't consider him to have a huge impact last year. You know, Jordan Thomas got some run a little bit because he, you know, McDonald went out with injury, Turrentine, kind of the same thing, went in. But, yeah, a lot of those guys just, it's kind of, this is their first year to really kind of showcase what they can do.
Yeah, I think they're still, especially defensive back is a good one to highlight. There's still positions on this team that guys get injured, depth gets even thinner. They're still not quite. And I think defensive back's glaring just because you still have a lot of questions about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, even offensive line, you look at the offensive line, you go, if there's injuries, it starts to you start to sweat the depth a little bit. So, I mean, staying healthy, which is a case for every team, is going to be incredibly crucial this year for Tennessee, which their spring practice.
Yeah.
Doesn't look to be good so far.
Yeah, and at what point in the season are you going to get to where, like, all right, just let Bukar play. He's got to be on the field somewhere. I don't know where that's at. It just seems like their starting five did not include Bukarter. But I just have a feeling in the first couple weeks he is going to be put in a situation and make a play, and he's probably not going to lose his spot the rest of the year.
Yeah, I am curious. We talked about it a little bit before. How you keep him off the field? Don't. Just find a place to put him at this point. Find a place to put him.
Agreed. I like what I see from DeShawn Bishop. I mean, you know, we kind of mentioned him when we were kind of previewing this as like, this is a big, I don't know if it was a big game for him, but it was definitely a big spring for him to, you know, have all these opportunities with Cam Seldon going down. Peyton Lewis is not practicing yet. So it's just been Dylan Sampson, and during the spring, Josh Heupel has been known to like, hey, our like for sure starters go light.
Yeah.
Don't touch them. Do some individual drills during the
spring. Everybody's wearing gray jerseys.
Yeah. So I do think it was a big spring for him. Now, do they get in the transfer portal for a tailback? Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't know if – I don't think it's just on DeShawn Bishop. What can Khalifa Keith get? What do they see out of Peyton Lewis? How long do they expect Cam Seldon to be out? And then when he is back, is he going to be full go, or is he on a pitched count? Like, what's the deal with that? I think there's a lot of things you kind of got to weigh, and because you also don't want to ruin, you know, the camaraderie and, you know, that bond you've kind of had those guys build over spring practice and bring a new guy in, because the guy's not coming in here to sit.
Right.
I mean, you're not just going to get a body to take one, especially you're on scholarship limitations. Why the heck would you just take somebody to have them on your roster when you don't need to?
Yeah. I mean, unless it's which even then, like you said, no one's going to want to come in here and sit. So never mind. Just, yeah, you're right. 100%. And you shouldn't really want
that. And Gaston Moore play running back.
I think so at this point. In a, on a spring Saturday, yeah, I think you could.
Okay, yeah.
Anything else for the orange and white game before we move on?
Not a whole lot. I just like the –
vaguely talked about guys who impressed, but anything else to hit on?
I just like the receiver group just a lot better than last year. You know, Mike Matthews, I think he's another one like Bukarter. Like, it's going to be tough to keep him off the field. Mm-hmm. And I think it is good where you have guys where I don't think they have to play just three guys the entire year like they did 2 years
right.
ago. So I like that. I like Mike Matthews. I know Braylon Staley didn't play in it, but Just adding those guys to that room to kind of push along Nimrod and Caleb Webb and some of those younger guys. And then you add Brazel in there. He got a touchdown pass. I just like the depth there and the talent overall. But there's going to be competition where, you know, is Dante Thornton going to hold off Chris Brazel? Is Squirrel Wide able to do the same with Matthews and Brazel? I think Brew McCoy's your guy, but how healthy is he at that point? I don't know. I don't know what his recovery looks like. You would hope so, but you just kind of never know. Those things can, you know, linger and, you know, you can tweak it a little bit. And so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think there's more competition, and that's got to make everybody better in that room.
Yeah, absolutely. But the wide receiver group as a whole should be really solid, and it helps that I think, first off, returning Brew McCoy, you know, is a big piece. But then I think another growth year for Squirrel White, hopefully for Dante Thornton. I mean, I think you could have three really, really – let's wait to see Dante Thornton, but I think there's enough depth there that you could have three really good receivers on the field at any given time that are touchdown threats.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and I've heard nothing but good things about Mike Matthews and Braylon Staley. Like those are two guys that, you know, if somebody drops a pass or, you know, they run down the field on a go route and, you know, take a sack and it's third down, you need to get another guy in real quick. I think those are like great options where you can just throw them out there and they can go make plays.
Yeah. Well, I think those guys, Chaz Nimrod, Caleb Webb, who showed some flashes last year. I just think you've got a whole group in there that if it's not Dante Thornton, I think you have plenty of good wide receivers that you can rotate in. And it's a solid group all throughout.
Yeah, it's going to be somebody.
Yeah. We didn't talk about the linebacking group either. I just think it's so much more athletic than it's been any other year since Heupel's been here.
I like T-Lander, man.
I think they should progress a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Do what?
I like T-Lander. I think he's going to be really good by the time his career is done at Tennessee.
I think he could get the nickname Junkyard Dog this year, flying around.
I like that. Yeah, sure.
I think he could. I think it's big. You know, losing Aaron Beasley, a veteran play caller out there that made too many plays. You don't want a single guy making that many plays in games. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously going to hurt. But I think looking at the position group, I think you just get a lot better, a lot more athletic.
Yeah. Yeah. With Peely and, you know, those young guys, just another year older, Aaron Carter, Perry, Edwin Spillman's another guy that's probably going to be thrown in there. He had a pretty good spring game. I mean, that's what the spring game is. You see all the transfers and new guys a little bit and everybody gets excited. I mean, I would love this thing. It's not script and they're like, oh yeah, hey, just let this 74-yard pass down the sideline work and you know, it'll get people want to come back next year. I don't know, but
hey, we're here to sell tickets, baby.
Yeah. I mean, Ole Miss, didn't they do like 7-on-7, like a flag football?
I don't know what all they did, but based on the few videos I've seen, that would not surprise me.
Yeah, it looked very much like a Pro Bowl style, like we were talking about.
It was our idea. I mean, I think they changed it last minute. We put that out on Thursday, and then they spent all day Friday making up that schedule.
Yeah.
Guys showed up Saturday, and they're like, Coach, is this field day? Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, we haven't got Kevin on the show, but he's been a long-time listener for sure. Mm-hmm.
Get your tie-dye shirts out for your team and get out there.
Yeah.
We're doing the three-legged sack race, brother. That'd be fun. See offensive lineman, three-legged race. That'd be a good time.
God.
There's nothing like, I mean, we already saw what is it, stumbling, bumbling.
Stumbling, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's another, like, that offensive line group's going to be interesting, especially if you deal with some injuries, to see who can – who goes in number one. I mean, I think your five is probably kind of set. Like, Jackson Lampley is probably your guard, and obviously you have Cooper.
Yeah.
Spraggins, Hurd, and Campbell. Who's the next person is who I want to know. If one of the guards goes down, who's your kind of swing guy? Is it Dane Davis, who's kind of played everything along that offensive line since he's been here? Or could it be somebody else? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, that that defensive line is disgusting. I mean, I don't know how many defensive lines have that kind of star power and just like veteran presence that have played so much football, but it's going to be nice to have. And I think it's going to do nothing but help out that young defensive back group too.
Yeah. We know where games are won, and that makes me even more fired up for this year. Let me just leave it at that.
Yep. Yeah. Gotta be tough for those, young offensive lineman just kind of getting thrown in, and you're like, okay, like I'll get up next in this drill. Who am I going against? James Pierce. Oh shit.
Yeah. It's but hey, Amari, it's gotta be good for. Listen, it may feel like crap throughout the week, but it's gonna feel better on the weekends when you're not going against James Pierce and Amari Thomas. It's gonna feel better then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just think every other game that you play in, you're not going to have to go against James Pierce. Just know that.
Yeah. Hey, practice. Enjoy the grind.
Because
you'll be looking around on Saturdays thinking, this is kind of easy.
Yeah.
I really hope.
Yeah. Beginning to existence. All right, let's get into some baseball real quick. Tennessee gets a sweep over LSU. We kind of mentioned it a little bit, the home run chase that Blake Burke and Christian Moore, kind of the race there. And it's fun to watch. And you know, I don't know what every single team has in the country, but I would like to find a better top five in a lineup than what Tennessee has. I mean, let's just do two. Christian Moore and Blake Burke. Dude, those are – I don't know what their draft stock looks like, but they are incredible. And I think either one of them could win most improved on this team from last year, because they have both improved so much defensively. That's just kind of – improve their game so much. And you know, when you're making plays in the field, you're not taking that up to the plate with you. They're like, oh man, I just had an error, and then it just compounds. You strike out, and you know, you're pressing to make a play to make up for it and stuff like that, where you know, they're making plays all over the infield. You know, Christian Moore had a big play. Blake Burke's been fantastic at first base, scooping the baseball and stretching out there. He's been a pretty good glove over there when it's hit to him. So, yeah, it's been fun to watch these two, and it's going to be fun to watch them the rest of the year and see who ends up with that home run crown. But, I mean, if I'm a team drafting, maybe late first, second round, I don't know how you don't pick one of those two.
Yeah, we saw a big jump in Blake Burke's abilities at first base last year. He just seemed to get more comfortable as the year's gone along. Now it's getting into, you feel like you have a veteran over there that takes care of business, that cleans up mistakes, that it's just nice to have that in your defense there, and probably makes your pitchers more confident too, knowing that a ball hit doesn't mean a guy on base. And it's this team, I kind of like that this team doesn't just seem outright dominant, but it's also at the same time seems really, really good. I kind of like that in it. Like, I like that it kind of feels like they could get beat or lose a series at any time, but they're also could sweep a team like LSU.
Yeah. And man, LSU's down bad. I mean, that lineup is bad. They got some guys that can hit a little bit. I mean, obviously Tommy Wyatt's a stud, but other than that, it's just a bunch of meh. And I mean, they can't hit for average. They can't, when runners get on base, it's not a, you know, they usually don't score. They make a lot of dumb mistakes base running wise. I mean, you had Tommy Wyatt on third base, just kind of got lost in no man's land yesterday, and Christian Moore threw him out. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird team. It's kind of, I know they lost a bunch, but they just kind of like got in the transfer portal and thought it would all work. And I think it's the transfer portal is a weird thing. And I was talking about it with people at the game today. It's like, you don't know what's going to work until like they're here. So like NIL, when you're like trying to get those contracts or whatever, like, hey, we think you're worth this much. I mean, that's a guess. I mean, perfect example, Maui Ahuna, who Tony Vitello took an 8-game suspension because they did, you know, a little something wrong. And, I mean, he wasn't worth an 8-game suspension. I'll say that. I mean, I appreciate, like, him coming here. It just didn't work. So, I mean, it's a wild thing in kind of sports to consider is, like, the transfer portal is, like, cool, like, that's the top guy. We need to go get him. I mean, you don't know what that's going to look like with who you have on your roster. Do they mesh? You know, right. I think it takes a lot of stuff for it to actually work out. And, I mean, Tennessee got a really good one with Billy Amick. But it's also not working. Gosh. Yeah. He's back, baby.
I mean, we have a comment, Billy Barrels. Stud, dude, the guy, him, whatever you want to say about Billy Amick, say it. It's true.
Yeah. And I got somebody mentioned to me. They're like, how in the hell does Clemson not find a place for him to play in the field? Because that's why he entered the portal. I was like, I don't know. I mean, Clemson is really good this year, but there's no shot that Billy Amick doesn't start for anybody everybody in the country.
I'm not letting Billy Amick go if I'm a coach. No. I'm doing everything in my power. I talk about 8-game suspension, I'll take a 20-game suspension if he's on my team.
I'm like, where do you want to play, Billy?
Play anywhere. You want to pitch? Yeah. Well, let's pitch some nights. That's nuts. Absolutely nuts. Another crazy thing as we look at this baseball team, they go to Kentucky next weekend. Kentucky, the number one team in the SEC right now.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. I know they had a lot coming back, but whatever they're cooking over there, it's working. I mean, it's been a chef kiss so far. I mean, I'd love nothing more to just go in there and spoil it next week, but man, they're hitting well. They're pitching well. I mean, and they're dominating teams. It's not like they're barely winning games. They're dominating people. They were down 7-0, I think, to Auburn and won like 12-7. It's odd. Very odd.
They lost 2-1 at Missouri. It was their only loss. So I was going to ask when they lost, because for some reason I was thinking they were undefeated whenever I looked this. So I didn't know if they lost one to Auburn this weekend. But yeah, I came to Missouri. They look good. It does kind of remind me of maybe wish they were coming to Knoxville. It'd feel a little bit better in this scenario. But when that really good team went up there and got spoiled by Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's go play spoiler next weekend.
Yeah, there's no like with that record in the SEC, you can't be the hunter.
Not anymore. No, you might have started that way. You're done now.
No, yeah, there's no, Cinderella story with that. Like people notice who you are. You know, when you start sweeping teams in the SEC, they're going to be like, oh, you know, what's this team all about?
And I would like for you to guess the high and low for Lexington this weekend.
Oh, I bet it's going to be miserable.
It doesn't look miserable, but low of 42 on Sunday, high of 73, that's on Friday, and then a 60% chance of rain on Saturday. The other days are just calling for cloudy. You can't make it up. I mean, is that place I said it, Lexington over Little Rock when we were talking about Calipari Friday night, but I mean, every time Tennessee goes up there, they just, it's like they're selling tickets to the butthole of America.
Have they ever had sun in Lexington? Like, is it just a solar eclipse all the time?
Not when Tennessee comes to town. This is where I'm convinced that the University of Kentucky is they have an in with the government. They're flying chemtrails every time we come to town and bringing the storm with them.
I mean, unreal. I hate that place. No wonder why. Okay, that might make sense why there are Volcats. I understand not wanting to live in Lexington. I would rather live in Knoxville.
There was a good like 10-year, probably 10 years stretch where every time I went to Kingsport, Tennessee, it rained. It was always raining when I was in Kingsport, Tennessee. It was incredible. It was always just nasty. One time it snowed in May up there when I was there for a soccer game. That's unreal. It's just the worst weather. That's what everybody that dons orange, that's what Lexington is to them.
Yeah, for sure.
It's go win a series. You know what? F it. Break out the brooms again.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun this weekend. Good to see AJ Causey get back to his old self. Good to have Billy Baseball back. Good to see Drew Beam beat Luke Holman. That felt good. I know Luke Holman probably pitched good enough to win, but guess what? You didn't. And also, like, if you felt so good about, you know, maybe if you would have pitched Luke Holman on Friday, maybe things would have been a little bit better for you. But you want to switch up your ace because you thought you could beat Tennessee on Friday. Didn't do that. Didn't beat them on Saturday either with your ace. And then with Xander Seacrest on the mound, you definitely ain't beating them on Sunday either. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good weekend on the mound. Not that Knoxville's had much better weather this spring, but man, this weekend was gorgeous. And the crowd brought the crowd out, dude. Lindsey Nelson wasn't there yesterday,
but it was rocking yesterday and today. I was there today, so it felt good. It felt normal because, like you said, like we've had some. I don't know if Lexington just like brought that to us, but it feels like every weekend it's raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good to finally have some good weather. It looks like I checked the weather today for next weekend. Rain all 3 days. It's supposed to be nice all week. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's supposed to rain. So
love it. Also, I'll get on the Landon train here. I haven't complained about it as much, but I'm sick of seeing the rest of Lindsey Nelson get on their feet and start clapping. And the people in the VIP section that are on camera, right behind home plate, sitting down. My God, stand up one time.
Yeah, it's,
and I'm not even a big stand up at a sporting event person. I'll do it. You do what you want, but they didn't do it the whole game. I'm not even convinced they stood up to go to the MVP room.
Came in there and ate, and then sat down before the game, and never got up.
Never. I mean, never.
They probably just have a bag and just pee in their feet too.
Nuts.
Yeah. I don't get that. There was a guy sitting a couple rows in front of me, and I'm sorry to call you out, but yeah, you sat in front of me, so I saw you. I mean, he's playing like a game on his phone, like some sort of I don't even know what do you call it? Not Dungeons and Dragons. What's the game on your phone that people still play that's been there forever? It's like you build like
Angry Birds.
No, yeah. It's like you have like cities and like people try to take it over and
yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I'm not sure
that sort of game, and I'm like, dude,
Clash of Clans, that's it.
Yeah, Clash of Clans.
Thanks, Dylan.
Yeah, that's what he's playing. Thank you, sir. But yeah, I was like, dude, number one, you're in a green shirt. I understand it's the Masters, but you're at an LSU Tennessee baseball game. And I don't think his shirt was a Masters shirt if he's playing Clash of Clans during the baseball
game. Yeah, you just sit at home and watch the Masters.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you got drugged to this game from a company that you work for or somebody that you know who's pretty wealthy, and they let you have that ticket, and you're sitting here playing Clash of Clans. So frustrating.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Get up. Get up off your feet.
Yeah, just buy a standing room only ticket for $10 and just stand there. I don't care what you do. But stand like where I don't have to see you playing Clash of Clans. I mean, I understand, like, I tweet on my phone, but I'm not playing Clash of Clans, and I have orange on.
There you go. Just wear orange. And that's actually the minimum first. First, wear orange.
And when Simo hits a home run to give us the lead, I tell the ball to get the F out.
Take your shirt off. I mean, gosh. Yeah, take that green shirt off. Weren't you supposed to take your pants off last year for something?
I did take my shirt off.
You did?
Yeah. Am I getting too old to do that? I feel like I am.
Yes, but not in the biggest scenarios. Like, I think it's still acceptable sometimes.
In the moment, it was funny and it felt right. And then a couple weeks later, I saw the video and I was like, dude, that's kind of embarrassing.
No, it's not. You just can't do it for like a home run against Eastern Kentucky, no matter what.
Okay. That's
it's fine. Like you said, it's the moment. The moment matters.
Yeah.
Was it Kansas football a couple years ago where it panned to a girl in the crowd and she was knitting?
Basically, what this dude was doing, two rows in front of me today. Basically.
Honestly, knit. You would have brought more to society that way.
I mean, there's people that have sat in front of me at the football games and they're just sitting there texting. The only time that they look up is when they're trying to take a picture of them at the stadium. I'm like, dude.
And that was before cell service. You even had it in the stadium.
Yeah. Don't even stand up to cheer or anything. Yeah, that's frustrating. You know what else is frustrating?
Tell me.
This is a fail, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because it has to do with Tennessee sports. People were upset that Kim Caldwell did not retain an assistant of Kelly Harper's.
One of the people I saw that was upset about is the same one that thinks Rick Barnes has the same career at Tennessee as Holly Warlick. So I take nothing he says seriously.
Oh, my God. I mean, her role was recruiting coordinator. We've signed one high school prospect in three cycles. Or I guess one high school prospect in two cycles. We'll have one high school prospect from the last three cycles on next year's roster. Obviously, she didn't do her job.
Do your job.
If she did do her job, Kelly Harper would probably still be here.
It's the dumbest outrage possible. Yes, it is. Makes no sense. It is baffling because also most coaches bring their own staff with them anyways.
Yeah.
So for so many reasons, it's a dumb take.
Yeah.
Be upset about it if it doesn't work out the next hire. Sure. Fine. But not the day she fires someone who wasn't good at their job.
Right. And they're like, she was so connected. I'm like, connected to what? I mean, obviously, like, this business is not about who you know, because
apparently not.
We haven't landed nobody. Oh, my God. I mean, just because she makes TikToks and is active on social media, so was Brian Niedermeyer.
She's at least
he got people to campus. Was it legally? No, but he did. He did his job, technically.
Those people wanted to come to the University of Tennessee because they wanted to play at the University of Tennessee, Landon. It's very clear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those people. It's like a person she doesn't know. A person that got fired, that the previous head coach got fired. Like, I mean, why would you want that?
I'm glad you brought that up about just like cheating and recruiting, because this is my in the last week, Kentucky fans have convinced themselves that Cal couldn't get people to campus. That he couldn't recruit, that he didn't have it. And then they've convinced themselves that he didn't have NIL opportunities. But they had all this talent. So clearly those guys just wanted to play for Coach Calipari or wanted to play for the University of Kentucky because it's an honor.
Sure.
Now they're convinced that they're going to give Mark Pope more NIL. And then they're going to convince themselves when they're still getting talent because it is the University of Kentucky and because they pay top dollar for talent. They're going to convince themselves that Mark Pope went from being a recruiter at BYU who was to just as good as a recruiter as Calipari. I mean, credit to them. They are spinning the hell out of this hire. But what are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know. And now everybody's bought in because he came to the press conference in a bus.
This is what I love about sports and especially college sports. They were ready to riot and tear down Mitch Barnhart's house in Lexington. And then they brought 30,000 people to his press conference. I love that. Say what you want about Kentucky fans. That is just sports fandom. You were like, F it, we're burning it all down. Then he shows up with a championship from 30 years ago and you're like, yeah! We're back. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. If I'm in their shoes, probably doing the same thing, but I'm not in their shoes right now, so I'm laughing about it.
And that's essentially what I'm saying is that this is just sports fandom. They are that is not unique to Kentucky fans. The way that happened, it's just hilarious to see it unfolding in Lexington. Back your guy, baby.
Got to.
Man, it's been fun. It's been a fun watch from afar. Yeah, we don't want to watch it ever up close, but from afar, I've loved every second.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just wait till the first game that they lose, like to a non-conference game. They're going to be like, oh.
Yeah.
We knew it the whole time.
They're going to lose to someone wearing reversible jerseys on the court. Can't wait. Do we have any questions?
Let me see. I don't think so.
I think you have someone to tell us about then before we get into our segments.
I do. Guys, go check out our great friends at Knoxville Tours. It is never too early to think about football season. Tennessee takes on Oklahoma this season in Norman to welcome them to the SEC. Our good friends at Knoxville Tours have a great 5-day tour September 19th to the 23rd. That takes all the stress off of you when booking and planning an away trip. The trip will include transportation to and from Oklahoma, a 4-night stay, hotel accommodations, and a dinner show at Cattleman's. Go cheer on the Vols in the Midwest. They will also be doing tours to Arkansas and Vanderbilt this football season. Give Knoxville Tours a call today at 865-688-6232 to book your tour and let them know More Important Issues sent you. Go check them out.
Do it.
All right.
Been talking about away games this year. It's got me fired up.
Oh, dude. Segments. Most important.
So I got a lot. This is fun. Julia Westerman, a reporter for WIS TV, she won the media lottery to play Augusta on Monday. She has never played a round of golf in her life.
Oh.
A lot of people are saying she shouldn't do it. No, even better. You absolutely should. Should you play all 18? No, you'll probably want to kill yourself after, but you should play it. A lot of people are saying give it up. You don't give up this opportunity no matter what. You go swing at least one club.
Yeah, keep going. I have a Buster only. I don't know how you say it. Only. It looks like
only doesn't sound right, but it also only. Yeah, it's. I guess it's
Buster only. I don't know. I think anyway. It's that guy. I just read it and I was like, that doesn't sound like how I usually say it, but whatever.
Right.
I usually say Buster only, but now it's I don't know, whatever.
Throwing you off, yeah.
He called a shot with Jackson Holiday when he was 9 years old. He said, this kid is a future Major League Baseball player. And somebody was like,
feel like a long shot?
Huh?
Does that feel like a long shot?
I mean, like his dad was, so not like great, but also like what 9 year old do you know are you like watching hit at 9 years old?
But I mean, like,
there's a little bit more to it than just like going to Bauer Field and just being like, that kid right there's got it.
And I wouldn't say that about any kid at Bauer Field unless it was a major leaguer's son, then I might.
Yeah, but somebody's like, how do you know he's only 9? He's like, I've seen him swing. But
I mean, I'll give it to you, but just doesn't seem like a long shot. Yeah, listen, he gets the dub because he said it. And that's the important part.
Yeah. Okay, well, he said he would be a future All-Star, so I guess it hasn't really come through yet.
Let's wait. Yeah, pump the brakes. So he went in with the assumption like us that he was going to be a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
But then he went one step farther. So, yeah, we'll wait. He's half right so far, or like a quarter right.
Yeah.
Got the hard part out of the way.
Yeah, his odds are looking a lot better. A big cash out's coming his way. Yeah. Like, he could cash out. Like, it's probably going to get there. But also him making his debut was pretty cool. Also, like, how he found out was the most nonchalant video I've ever seen. It was kind of like Trey Lipscomb's, honestly.
I feel like that's how they just do it, though. It's usually manager coming to the manager's office. You ever thought about playing in the major league? Cool.
Yeah,
he was an opportunity for you.
He's like, how's your dad? And he's like, he's good. He's like, well, if you talk to him, just tell him I said hey and whatever. And he's like, also just tell him that you're going to the show. And he's like, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And that was it. And I was like, what?
See, I feel like those videos can't be it because he was going to go to the show. Whereas it's the ones that have been in grinding in double A ball for 6 years that are the emotional ones that.
Yeah. He was there, like, I probably should have been there anyway.
That guy calls his parents and they're, you know, he's like, I got big news for you. And they're like, are you finally giving up baseball? Or is this dream dead yet? And he's like, oh, well, I actually got called up today.
Hey, guess what, Dad? They actually let me play this time.
My next most important. I think I have contributed to society, in my opinion, in a massive way. I think this could be a changing point, could potentially bring world peace, could provide a lot of benefit. I'm really excited. So a few years ago, a Reddit thread, Reddit Golf, people asked, what do you snack on the course? And I mentioned how I take Uncrustables out on the golf course. And sometimes I take a variety. I take strawberry and grape at the same time, blah, blah, blah. I have this long post about Uncrustables, why they're the best snack. Someone then asked, this is still a few years ago, said, you know, whose idea, you know, who mentioned this? I went back and checked. I was the first person to mention Uncrustables on Reddit Golf. I did do that. It has created a wave on that page. Everyone does it now. It is a thing. Today, someone posted, and the title was A Sandwich Unlike Any Other. And the picture is someone had made a homemade pimento cheese Uncrustable to celebrate the Masters. And I think I should get at minimum 65% of that credit for that. And
like,
I think
like Buster only when Jackson Holiday becomes it'll be all
bingo. Bingo. And so I would just like to say to not just Reddit Golf and not just my friends and family, but everyone of the world, and especially those in Augusta, Georgia, you're welcome.
I like that. All right. Yep. 65%.
Minimum. That's minimum.
Oh, okay.
That's minimum.
My next one is also myself. First birdie yesterday. Solo bird.
Let's go.
Dude, it felt good, and it was kind of crazy. Like, it was a par five, hit a great drive, and then ripped an 8-iron about 155 yards, and 150, 160, something like that. Lands on the green. I was like, oh man, that was close. And get there, because I was like, dude, we could eagle this. And I'm thinking like we could eagle this, as in like, I'll give you a line to putt and you putt it.
Right. Right.
I wasn't really thinking about a solo. And then I got up there, it rolled off the green a little bit, and I'm like, dang, that sucks. So then I was like, I'm gonna chip it. And I was like, but I don't really want to. He's like, well, just putt it. I was like, nah, I'm just going to chip. So I chipped it super close, about 3 feet, which it wasn't super gimme, but it was also like, I should make this putt. And then he like chips it, and it was a little closer. And I was like, I'm going to like putt mine. This is my first birdie.
Smart.
And drained it. And, the crowd went wild. So,
I was about to. You started telling that story, and I was like, "You did putt your own ball there, right? You didn't let that ruin it." So, okay,
good. Yeah, putt my own ball.
Love that. The only birdies I had yesterday were, I was talking to them. Man, I got some going. Like a little, they were talking.
Just getting after it.
They were so loud. Someone called me, and they're like, "Are you on the golf course?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh yeah, I heard birds." And I was like, "Yeah, they're loud today. I don't have any, but they're out here."
Yeah. Yeah, they got all jacked up for that eclipse that didn't happen, so that they don't know what to do with themselves anymore.
Exactly. They got to stop watching the news, man. my only fail, it's also Scottie Scheffler. Congratulations on winning the Masters, but it's just an extremely hot take to say you're going to leave the moment your wife goes into labor for so many reasons. I won't lay them all out there, but
20 million of them.
Yeah, they're a lot. Well, he only wins 3 from the Masters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, the purse.
Not a big purse. Yeah, it's not. It's not a big prize.
well, yeah, we say that 3 million.
I also like. I don't think. Well, I mean, for real, for him, really nothing. It's legacy right. For him, but. I do like something I was thinking about today is that there's no cell phones allowed on the course. And so in my mind, he's like, yeah, honey, I'm going to go play in the Masters. You just call me, you know, if something happens and I'll be right back. And he gets on, and he looks at his buddy. He's like, can't even have phones out there. She'll have to wait till I'm done. No, I mean, very sweet, great dad, all that. But
come on.
It's crazy. I rooted for the chaotic moment where he gets the lead on 12. Everyone's behind him. It looks like he's going to win. And he picks up his ball and just starts running. And they're like, what's happening? He's like, well, his wife's going into labor. And the leader of the Masters left early. Because his wife, on Sunday, because his wife's going into labor.
I'm thinking about, like, the kid. I mean, imagine somebody comes up to him when he's swinging a golf club at 9 years old. And they're like, oh, this could be the future of golf. But all those people, he had. Yeah, but all those people that made them lose money off Scottie Scheffler going to that kid's birth, he'll be hated forever, no matter how good he is.
Right, and maybe it's me being a middle child. Everyone asks, is it his first? Why does that matter? It shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's crazy to me.
But it's
crazy.
True,
just the whole thing is crazy. I don't know. To me, it's not true, but I guess everyone else it is. Shout out to all those middle children out there.
Yeah.
Your birth was important too. Was it leaving the Masters important? No, but neither was the oldest one. So don't worry. Yeah, I rooted for chaos. I won't lie. I was like, fingers crossed. Water break. Here we go.
That would have sucked.
I don't think he would have left on today. I don't think he would have left.
I mean, I would have hated him forever, and that would have made me lose like $30. So
we might not have. I think it would have been awesome if they couldn't have the winner in Butler Cabin because he left early. So I didn't think he was going to leave. So I rooted for at least Jim Nance showing up and John Rahm to the hospital in Dallas later to put on the jacket. That would have been cool. That's what I was hoping for.
It would have been funny if he just putted and like grabbed his ball and just ran off at 18.
Yeah.
Just like gone.
Didn't even celebrate.
Yeah. They're like, all like the TV cameras, like they're like, I don't know what to film anymore.
They're following him and they're in the, to the airport.
Yeah. They give him an escort. That would be cool.
Little police escort to the airport.
Yeah.
Jets waiting. Mm-hmm. It's primed. Yeah, I agree. Also, I know you took Victor Hovland. I think you walked away when we were talking about who to take, and Wes named every international player in the Masters. He's like, this is who I'd take. I was like, I'll give you a name to take who's got an international name but not international. Colin Morikawa, baby. Hot take, but he played well.
I don't watch a lot of golf. I was like, Max Homa. I like Max Homa. He's like, no, not Max Homa. I was like, all right.
Well, he played really bad at Augusta. He's not played well, but a lot of people, based on the stats that he's had this year versus what Augusta is, apparently, I think John was telling me this, that apparently he was a big take in the golf community. Not to win, but to finish well.
Right. Well, Victor hasn't finished better than T19 this whole year. And I didn't know that until after I took him. I'm like, dang it, Wes. He's like, sorry, I didn't know that. I'm like, dude.
Man, tough.
Yeah. My only fail was people just upset for no reason about who Kim Caldwell wanted to retain or not retain. So I just don't understand it, but whatever. Also got to see Dalton Connect throw out the first pitch. It was a strike, obviously.
Well, based on the umpiring this weekend, it was for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
It was a little outside, wasn't it?
Yeah, that umpire was garbage. And Tony let him know, too. I'm not going to repeat what Tony said, but it was not great that when it should have been strike three and he caught a ball and then the next pitch, they hit a two-run home run.
Yeah.
Or it was a solo shot. Yeah, that's right. Guys, go check out our good friends at Roback. Roback.com. Use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase. Just great polos. They have some Masters themed gear in there, so go check that out. Also got the Tennessee polos. They're my favorite polo. I think it's Caleb's as well. So go check them out. Just great quality stuff over there. 20% off your first purchase using promo code More Important Issues.
All right.
Anything else?
That's it for me.
All right, guys, thank y'all for listening. We'll be back on Thursday. And
tomorrow. I guess I'll talk to you.
Tomorrow? Bat flip will be tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So go check that out. We'll get more in depth with this weekend against LSU. And we're bringing the boat in, and we out.